Welcome, everybody, to the R&R CatCast, a fan-based podcast focusing on Montana State athletics. We're two dudes named Ryan from the state of Washington talking about our dear Montana State. We hope you enjoy. Welcome back, Bobcat fans. Thanks for joining us on another episode of the R&R CatCast. I'm one of your hosts, Ryan Foley. He's your host, Ryan Thornburg. We are the Ryans of the R&R, the Montana State affiliate of the Big Sky Podcast Network. And we're here tonight to talk a little bit about our playoff win against Weber State. This is an instant reaction show, the R&R After Dark. Thorny, how are you doing tonight, buddy?
Doing good, man. Yeah, this is something we normally do on a Saturday night, but we both have other things going on, so Sunday night, still bringing it to you.
I am on the struggle bus. If the listeners don't know, I just did that intro four times, and I still kind of screwed it up. I honestly have a little bit too much vim pulsing through me right now. I'm just having a little too much fun over here in Spokane.
Hey, nothing wrong with that, man. It's going to be a fun episode because it was a fun game to watch and feeling good. Good time to be a Bobcat fan.
Oh, absolutely. Going on to the quarterfinals, Montana State takes down Weber State 33-25. We'll get into that here in a moment. But the first thing we're going to talk about is around the Big Sky, which is really not around the Big Sky in totality. It's around the FCS playoffs, second round.
Around the playoffs.
All right. Well, I'm on ESPN, so I think I'm going to just start at the very bottom, which is...
Why do you do that? I'm just curious. I don't know. You're always like, I'm going to start at the bottom. I think most people would just start
at the top. I like to go from the bottom up because it goes back up to us.
Fair enough.
I don't know.
All right. Whatever. You do you.
Okay. Well, maybe I'm going to switch it up now. I'm going to go top down. Let's see. We'll start with Holy Cross and New Hampshire. Holy Cross beats New Hampshire 35-19. I watched a little bit of that game. I think that was the early game. I believe that game was on at like 9 o'clock. Yes. Anyways, Holy Cross moves on to play, is it South Dakota State?
Yeah, I think so. We should probably have the bracket up. So,
yeah.
But yes, I believe they are headed to Brookings to play South Dakota State.
One thought on
absolutely
that.
Absolutely crushed their opponent. Anyway, yeah, go ahead.
Yes. One thought on that. I watched it, the apparent to me when I watched Holy Cross in New Hampshire is the body size of those teams, man. When we watch some of these games, this would be a common theme. Some of the teams just don't look like we do or like South Dakota State. I was watching South Dakota State earlier on tonight, and I'm like, man, that team alone, their lines, they're just big. They don't compare to Holy Cross, New Hampshire. I don't know how Holy Cross is going to get past South Dakota State. I really don't.
No, so much of it is eye test. I was actually watching New Hampshire, and I thought New Hampshire had some decent-sized dudes. They looked like a bigger team than Holy Cross, but they ran out of gas or whatever because it was close for a while, but then, yeah, Holy Cross is 28 points in the second half, and that was the game.
All right.
Moving on down, Furman. In a pretty exciting game, Furman falls just short of the upset bid at the seventh seed Incarnate Word, 38-41. I watched a good amount of that game, too. Furman came storming back, had a couple interceptions, I believe, of the potential front runner for the Walter Payton Award, Lindsey Scott Jr., the quarterback for Incarnate Word, but unable to secure the win. Did that game go into overtime?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it doesn't say that on ESPN, but I'm pretty sure that one went into overtime. So yeah, Incarnate Word pulled that one out in overtime. That was a good game. I actually picked that on the Bobcat Nation as an upset. I thought Furman would take him down, and they almost did.
That was the one game I didn't get to watch or haven't like tuned back into. So I was hoping you would have a little bit to say on that.
Perfect. Yeah.
Excellent, man. One game I did pay attention to was the Gardner Webb versus William and Mary. William and Mary took them down 54-14. It wasn't close. William and Mary, who's coming to Bozeman Friday night, 8:15 kickoff in Montana time. Ugh. Was UC Davis 8:15 as well? I kind of think it was.
It might have been 8:30. Yeah, somewhere in the eights.
Man.
That's just too late. So, in December, come on. Everyone's going to freeze.
I kind of like it. I think I'm the only person I've seen who says I kind of like it. I like night games, and I think this is, it just sets the mood for me, but I could see why people wouldn't want an 8 o'clock kickoff. Anyways, William Mary doubles up Gardner Webb, 608 yards versus 377 yards. And then they had a really balanced attack. They had 302 yards passing and 306 yards rushing. So, I mean, can't get much more balanced than that.
No.
What I think about William and Mary, just a quick take on them, is their quarterback, Darius Wilson, can spin the ball. He seems like a lot of the quarterbacks that we've seen that have given us problems, kind of like RJ Martinez a little bit. But again, size. Montana State just out-physicals them from the eye test. We'll see how that plays out on Friday.
Yeah, I'm in the middle of my first rewatch on that, or trying to rewatch the game. I didn't catch any of it live. So they look like a good team. It'll be an interesting matchup, and we'll talk a lot about that on Monday. South Dakota State crushes Delaware in a game I thought Delaware could hang around a little bit, but 42-6. And I believe the game was called off early. There was a really bad injury to the quarterback for Delaware. And I think I read that they just ended up like calling the game. Like the stretcher came and took him off. He was down for like 30 minutes. It was a real bad scene. I haven't read up on that, but I think I saw that on Twitter. So South Dakota State was able to take care of Delaware, but not an ideal way to end the football game. But Jackrabbits advancing on to take on Holy Cross.
So you mean like they stopped the game and just said we're done playing?
Yeah, I think so.
What the? How's that even possible? I've never even heard of like that being a possibility.
Yeah, I just thought I read that on Twitter. Like I said, I could be completely misinterpreting that.
Guys, we're done. We're done. Ah, that sounds really weird. I watched probably like 15, 20 minutes of that game today. South Dakota State just looks scary. They do. Tucker Kraft, the Yankee Twins, Josh Davis. Or not Josh Davis. Who's their running back? Is it somebody Davis? Isaiah Davis. Man, they got some players, dude. They got some size. If we go back to Brookings, or if we go to Brookings to play them, that's going to be a really tough game. This is going to be a great game. But yeah, South Dakota State. So, good on them. You were predicting they would lose. I saw your prediction on Bobcat Nation.
Yeah, upset. Two upsets. Why not? That's the only way you're ever going to win any sort of bracket challenges. You got to pick some upsets. That's a big whiff. That's all right.
All right. The next game down, I didn't watch a lick of, but it was went into overtime. Southeastern Louisiana falls to Samford, 48-42. It's a walk-off win for Samford. I did see that highlight. And so, there you go. Samford's moving on. They're going to play North Dakota State up in Fargo. I don't think North Dakota State's going to have a lick of a problem getting past Samford.
No, and I think that their stud quarterback is out. I think he wasn't playing in this game. He's like one of the Walter Payton Award guys, too. I don't follow the FCS real closely. I'm pretty sure that the stud quarterback was hurt in this game, and if he's not able to go for Fargo, they're for sure going to get rolled, but probably going to get rolled. No matter who's taking care of that one. All right, moving on down the list. The Grizz go to Fargo. Lose 26-49 in a game that I don't think upset a single Bobcat fan. Kept it close though. Pick six by Justin Ford, I think, brought it to 20-21 at one point, maybe in the third quarter. And then they absolutely got steamrolled after that. I think North Dakota State went on an absolute tear, something like three straight touchdown runs all over like 65 yards or something like that. Lots of shades of the Cats running all over the Grizz in Brawl of the Wild. North Dakota State got it going, and yeah, the game was over real fast there in the third quarter.
Thank you to the Bison for taking care of a team that didn't deserve to be in the playoffs in the first place.
Ooh. And yes, I agree with that. So that's what happens. There we go. So we can spend as much time on that as we want. I think people would probably enjoy it. I think other Bobcat fans didn't take any certain displeasure in watching that happen, but that's enough time probably talking about the Grizz. There you go. Now you know how it feels. Now you know how it feels to go to Fargo and get stomped. We got a lot of crap for years for how it transpired, and then the Grizz go and do the same exact thing.
8-5, man. Return to dominance is a bunch of bull. Same stuff every year under Bobby Howell.
Yeah.
Second iteration. Hey, let's get that guy a contract extension so we can keep being his butt in Bozeman every year, right?
Yeah, it's kind of like the Rob Ash, where Grizz fans kept hoping he would get renewed because they could beat him and Cat Grizz. Well, I feel like Hauk's kind of that way right now.
There we go.
Right now in Missoula.
Would you ever think you would say he's kind of like Rob Ash?
No, I was nervous when they hired Hauk back, and
we all were. It's just kind of
proven to be. I mean, he's not doing a bad job by any means, but you know, he's fourth probably in the last 3 years in terms of success, and maybe third at best because the Eastern's down here. But he's been behind the Cats and Weber State.
Yeah. All right. Now we can move on.
One last playoff game to talk about.
That'd be us. Montana State, your Bobcats. No, come on. Are you kidding me? Did I screw it up again?
Yes. Yes, you did. Sac State, Richmond, man.
Oh, I was looking at the bottom. Southern
and Jackson. I should have made you start at the top.
I was ready to pounce into the Bobcat game. Okay.
Yeah. Can't do
Sac State, Richmond. I did catch this. It was pouring rain in Sacramento. Richmond was up early, 21-17. And then, even more than that, let's take a look. It would be like
21-7, I think, at one point.
31-24 at one point as well. Anyways, Sac State comes out of the win. First win program history, 38-31. They came back in the fourth quarter and kind of dominated, put the clamps on Richmond. We were all thinking, I was like, here comes Sac State again. Just going to lay egg in the first round of the playoffs. But nope, Troy Taylor and company survive that game. And that I think that was an appropriate term for that, survive the game. And then who do they get to play? Looking back up through this, I think they are playing Incarnate Word next. Yeah.
So that's going to be an interesting game.
Absolutely, it's going to be an interesting game. That'd probably be a fun game to watch, actually. So I'll tune into that one. I believe that one is on Friday as well. There's three games on Friday. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, and they got the ESPN Plus version of it. So we got ESPN 2, the late slot. Is it North Dakota State who got the early slot on Friday?
Yes, that's
correct. And then, so that would leave South Dakota State with the Saturday ESPN 2 slot, which is 9 o'clock our time.
Yeah, that's an early game. So I think Sac State like kicks off like probably 15-20 minutes after we start.
That sucks, man. Like, at this point, you should be able to watch each one of these games without overlapping so you can enjoy each one. But no, kicking off at the same time is kind of annoying. But yeah, that's a big win for Sac State, man. They got the monkey on the back. I think that's going to help them move forward as a program. It's not easy to win in the playoffs. You got to kind of figure out how to do it. And they got that first one, so let's see if that starts off a little run for them, or you know, if that's just something that is a one-off, and then they lose again anyway.
All righty. Well, I hope they win, because I want them to take down North Dakota State, or at least I want North Dakota State to have to travel. I just want to see North Dakota State not be in Fargo, right?
No, that's what's going to happen is Incarnate Word will beat Sac State. So then Incarnate Word has to go to Fargo and Bison just march right to Frisco again.
That's a
sad note. So let's kick it off, man. Let's kick off into the last playoff game now, for real. The last playoff game to talk about in Bozeman. All right,
Yeah, man, we took them down. Beat Weber State twice. Weber State has three losses on the season, two to the Montana State Bobcats.
Yeah, I didn't really think about that perspective. That's an interesting perspective. So let's format this in the good, the okay, and the bad. And that's a good one. That's a good first thought to put in the good categories. Two of the three losses to Jay Hill's pretty damn good football team are to your Montana State Bobcats. So that's a pretty good feeling.
Yeah, this game was not one of those fluky games that happened in the first time, so everything went kind of according to plan in my book. I thought we were going to roll Weber all week, and the matter of the fact is, Thorny, I think we, you know, the stats don't show it because Stones Glistener was 4 for 5. We should have rolled these guys up.
No, that, and I'll get to that later about having to kick 4 field goals. But I agree. That's my very first thing I wanted to say in the good category is just that we killed the narrative that the last game was a fluke. This game, nothing weird happened. Just one team. I mean, both teams played pretty well in terms of like mistake-free football. I think both teams gave it a pretty good effort. It looked like two good playoff caliber teams going at it in Bozeman. One was just quite a bit better than the other one in the end of it. And yes, we let them come back there and make a game of it at the end, but for a majority of that game, the Bobcats dominated that game. And like you said, it should have been worse. So just it's nice to put the narrative that we all Bobcat fans heard all week after the first game and all week leading up to this game, Bobcats only won because of the safeties, blah, blah, blah. Well, it wouldn't have helped them any. It wouldn't have helped in this one. It would have been much worse if there were some safeties. So we beat them straight up. And that's why I'm excited. So that's my first good thought.
I'm going to give props to Stones Glistener. 4 for 5, 36, 33, 31, 39, or 34, excuse me, with a miss from 49. And then Stones leads the FCS with 58 touchbacks. Probably two more. He had two more this game, so maybe that's up to 60 now. But that guy's been money. He was on, I think Tom Stuber wrote an article that I read today. He's like now second to Jason Cunningham for having 11 made field goals in a row before he missed that 49-yard field goal in the fourth quarter.
It's impressive.
Yeah. Nice job, Stone.
Nice job. Let's see. Good category. It was good watching 22 run the ball again.
Woo.
He just has a different way about him. And I'm not sure he was any more affected than anyone else would have been. We can debate that maybe more on Monday. It was just good watching 22 get back on the field. Good as a Bobcat fan, as a fan of like Isaiah Fonse as a person, like just good for him get back on the field. And it was exciting to watch it. And man, it just felt good watching him get back out there.
It is awesome to see a Fonse out there. Another good in my category is Sean Chambers. He seems to be like the Swiss knife that we need, the elixir that just stirs Montana State to some sort of awesome victory. He can do whatever we need him to do. I mean, his stats, he was 2 for 2 for 75 yards and just passing. He had 2 touchdowns and then he had a rushing touchdown. He had 14 carries for 83 yards. He's like the biggest surprise to me all season long. Like if you would have told me Sean Chambers was going to be this amazing football player, but he won't be playing all the time. He'll be playing like spot duty and like mop up duty sometimes. And a mop up duty. Like he has a very defined role in the program, but I'm just so surprised how useful and important he is to our program.
No, it's absolutely true. Like, I don't know if we'll be lucky to have a backup that good again. Cause like a guy like that could be starting somewhere. And the fact that he's here, that's just a connection he probably has with Vegan. That's why he's here. And him accepting the role that he has and being super productive from that role, it's a huge advantage for the Bobcats. And he had a great game. And what a great throw to Willie Patterson on that little double pass reverse type little thing there, man. That was a great throw. And what a great finish by Willie Patterson, dragging that defender like 5 yards in the end zone. Willie was not going to be denied on that. And then, yeah, that was like the peak of the game right there.
All right. Well, another good, putting me on the spot there, Thorny. We've been passing it back and forth. Man, Coach Vegan's 23-4. 19 straight home wins. We're continuing to build a record over there. It's not something to just, not talk about. It's pretty good.
Yeah, he has one regular season FCS loss and one national championship FCS loss. That's it for FCS losses in 2 years.
Well, Cat Grizz, his first season.
Yeah, that's why I said one regular season FCS loss.
Okay, got it.
Referring to Cat Grizz last year. just it's incredible, man. It's incredible. He's done an incredible job. And I thought he had the team ready to go here again. It's like, man, he just, you don't have to worry about stuff with Vegan. Like you mentioned, I think it was you. I've been texting with a lot of people all week. This is like the most confident like Cat fans have felt going into a big game.
Yeah.
And I thought I was nervous because of it. Like my heart says we're going to win. My head says we're going to win. And my gut says we're going to win. So naturally we're going to get crushed. But I don't know. I was just feeling confident, man. It's a new feeling, I guess, as a Bobcat fan, just to be like this caliber of a game, this caliber of a team in an important playoff game, like to be that confident that we're going to win and potentially win by two scores or more. Like it's crazy.
Right. Everybody was texting me throughout the week was like, yeah, we're going to roll them. We're going to win. Yeah, we're going to win. What are you talking about? We're going to win. I was like, yeah, that's the way I feel too. Should we feel concerned about that? Nah, we're going to win.
Yeah. Yep. I definitely thought maybe some sort of overconfidence from the Cat Grizz victory was seeping through all the Bobcat fans. But I think we have legitimate reasons to be optimistic.
Hey, here's another good. I called this on our pod. I said 400 yards worth of rushing. We were 12 off of that. 388 yards of rushing. Unreal. 53 touches, 388 yards of rushing. Montana State's rushing program can't be stopped. And honestly, that's the thing that's going to carry us through the FCS playoffs. No one's going to stop that.
No. I am a little worried about South Dakota State stopping it, but it's elite, man. 7.3 yards per carry. Can we keep bringing our season average up? Which is just crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, man. No turnovers. Again. And you run about 388 that. Yards and you don't commit any turnovers, you're going to win like almost every football game you play. Those are just two like elite stats right there. We've hardly turned the ball over at all.
Nope. Taking care of the rock. I think Tommy Malott does an exceptional job of that too. Yep. Maybe to a point where he could take some more chances. We'll talk about that on Monday. Another thing I thought was really awesome was our crowd, man. Just the Bobcat fans showing up on ESPN. Well, I mean, it was cold. It's been so stinking cold in the last month, and yet they continue to pack that stadium and just make a huge difference. I love seeing Bobcat Nation just shine, man. It's so cool.
Yeah, they had the attendance at like 16,397, but on TV it looked like it was right up to the edges everywhere. It looked full. So I'm not sure if it's just because there was no SRO tickets and that just takes away 4,000 seats or something. Like, I don't know. It looked full on TV. So I don't know. But yeah, the crowd sounded good. They looked good. Gotta give a shout out to Bobcat Nation for showing up, because you and I can't. And we would be if we could.
All right.
Anything else you want to say in the good category? I mean, we can go on and on about this. This is just a huge win for the program. And there's a lot of good things to talk about. It's a lot of individual performances we can talk about. But in the interest of keeping this episode relatively short, shall we move on? Or is there anything else important you want to get off your chest here?
Yeah, let's go on to the OKs.
All right. The OK, man, I don't know if I have any OKs. I have a couple bads. The OK is kind of a hard one, like right in the middle, like meh. Well, all right. So if I will say, our fourth quarter defense was okay. I would say, I want to say bad, but I'll keep it in the okay. We let the backup quarterback come in and score 14 quick, like relatively quick points by throwing all over the place and making me legitimately nervous there for a few minutes in that game. Like in a game that we were dominating 33-10. It's like, it was pretty funny. So I'll tell this story now. My son's filling out like an FCS bracket. I printed him one after the first round, and he's handwriting him in himself with his cute little six-year-old handwriting. It's like gigantic, like writing Holy Cross, like over half the page, you know, because he can't write small yet. And he's like, is that game over? Like looking at the game, he's like, well, it's pretty much over. He's like, he wants to write it in. And like in the third quarter, he's like, can I write the Bobcats in? I'm like, no, not yet. It's like, that's superstitious. He's like, why can't I do it? I'm like, you just can't, okay? Just trust me, you can't write that we've won this game. We can't put that down on paper that we've won this game yet. And man, Weber State came back and made it pretty nervous there. So yeah, I would say the defense and also kind of the play calling a little bit there. We went kind of that conservative shell there that we kind of do a little bit. And, you know, it was a bad recipe. And it made me pretty nervous in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. I'm going to withhold a lot of comments because I want to talk a lot about that tomorrow. There's some things that I kind of picked up on, or like, why are we doing that? And then maybe some answers to why we struggled in the fourth quarter. So,
okay.
Iffy thing for me, an okay thing for me is Tommy Mellott not seeing the middle of the field. Like, guys are running wide open down the middle of the field. Nobody's around them. And this might have been put in the bad category for me, too, because that's 6 points right away. And I know Tommy Mellott is a stud, but he does a one look to the side and throws a fade when I see Taco Dowler or Cleveland Thomas running up the seams and nobody's around them because of the safety is creeping up to cover the plus one run game. And they got the whole county to themselves. If Tommy would just see that and just pitch it out to them, that's 7 points, man. I just can't, like, I know he's a Division I quarterback and those are Division I athletes. You got to make that play. You got to make that play. That's a throw. That's so wide open. I don't know how you don't see that. You got to make that play. I'm getting hyped up because maybe I'm just, I've been thinking about it a lot today. That's kind of changed, man, because other teams are going to do that for us. They're going to creep the safeties in. They're going to see that Tommy just does the outside, you know, the sideline stuff. We got to hit the middle, man. They're wide open.
Yeah, no, I think that's definitely a next progression for him, and he's gotten better at it throughout the year, but he still has a long ways to go, just seeing the field, going through his reads. Like, he'll find those guys eventually. It's not going to be this year, but you remember, this is still basically his sort of his freshman year in a way. Yeah, he had that.
It takes 1 second to just put your eyes there, Thorny. Just look.
All right.
Throw it down the field.
There's a reason that not everyone can do it, if it's so easy. I'm saying I'm disagree with you. I'm just saying it's not just like, oh yeah, just take a look to the left and throw a touchdown. Like, I don't think it's quite that simple, buddy.
That's what I'm saying. It looks like it's that simple. They're so wide open. So wide open. So
sure.
All right.
Well, it's definitely something to work upon, as you like to say on the show.
All right.
I think that's all I have in the okay category. My last one, my bad. Red zone offense was pretty atrocious in this game. Like, mm-hmm. We got in the red zone 5 times. Maybe it was more eventually. I'm not entirely sure, but we kicked 4 field goals on 4 of those 5 attempts. Because
unacceptable.
And like three of them like got inside like the 15, and then we ran. We like got some horrible, stupid play on first down that went for like -6 yards. I think one of them was a pitch to Afonso who botched it and bounced around backwards. Another one on the other side of the field. I don't know if it was like a trick play to Chambers or something, and he got tackled like 7 yards behind the line of scrimmage. And like, you're out of the red zone, so you have like, you know, first and 17 from like the 27 when you were like on the 13 or something like that. I think one of the first and goals was like first and goal from like the 19 or something. You're like, it's just, you can't be doing that, man. It's like we tried to do something tricky. When we get inside the red zone, and the red zone offense was really bad in this game, and you know that's not something you can do against like South Dakota State. You can't just kick field goals. You can't march down the field and kick field goals.
No, not at all. No, I think Mellott said we need to talk in sevens, not in threes. He's right, man.
That's beautiful.
That was brutal to watch. It was like, what are we doing? Why are we getting kicked down here? Pound the freaking rock down their throats. Take
their
souls.
Do what you have been doing the entire previous 60 yards that got you to the 16-yard line.
Yeah, if you want to throw it to Snell or something. I don't know. Just get it in the end zone. Come on, House, right? Yeah, well, but that pitch to Fonte that he bobbled there. He was going to get rocked regardless, and we recovered that. It was a really, actually, I thought Weber did a really good job covering that play. That's one of the few times that I thought they had really good coverage on some outside running scheme. Anyways, you're right.
Weber definitely had some better defensive preparation in this game. It ended up not looking that way necessarily in the final stats, but I thought they were in better position, and they didn't let any 60-yard runs go. There were some bigger runs for sure, but nothing. It wasn't as bad as last time. So I actually think their defense had a better plan and better execution. I just think Montana State's run game is just that elite. Plus, we had Afonso and Chambers this time, and we didn't have them last time, and it was just too much. No matter how good a game plan you come up with, Weber State just couldn't do it. Just couldn't execute.
So I have a bad. This was terrible too. This should be in the terrible category. Taiokata got himself, I think, his first or second sack. I can't remember. But do you remember the one where we put Bronson in third and 15? And they were in the, I think they were like third and goal. And it was third and 15. And then he passes a dime to McPherson for that touchdown.
Yeah.
We run man coverage on third and 15. That allows Ty McPherson to slightly get past Simeon Woodard, and Bronson Barron just has to literally put him on him. You don't run man coverage, cover zero right there, Thorny. You run quarters or some sort of zone coverage, so you don't give that play up. That was absolutely a terrible call. Absolutely terrible call. I don't know if that was a miscommunication or if that was just what Daly put in. Terrible. Freaking terrible call.
Yeah, I mean, that could be Daly, man. It's his first time calling plays, so that could be just a simple mistake right there. But yeah, that was I think they saw that matchup right away and just ran that kind of that little fade route to the center there. And
they kept kind of like a pick play, kind of a crossing, like a shallow crossing right there. And then it was just like, of course. Like, why are you running man coverage right there? Just cover the end zone. Don't let them score. Just put a couple safeties. Quarter it. Play quarters right there. What the heck are we doing? Head scratch, man.
That was not a good one. And we just don't have the, I don't know, the cornerbacks just aren't able to keep up with man-to-man this year, maybe like they were last year. I don't know what's going on, but
you
know,
Woodard got beat. Field was like an ice skating rink, dude. Yeah, you can't play man-to-man on ice.
No. Yeah, it is. That was not a good sequence there, for sure. But the players weren't put in a good position on that one.
No, not at all. Terrible. Anyways, other than that, I think like just the field being like went from playable to just straight up ice in the fourth quarter. Nobody can make a play.
No, it got real bad. That shade set in and people were just like tiptoeing around trying not to slip.
You see Abraham Williams coming out of the end zone trying to take that one out. He's just like, whoop, 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 pow, down on the three-yard line.
Yeah, it's like, oh, man, it's just not their day. That's the complete opposite of last time when they had two touchdowns, not even be able to like get out of your own end zone without falling on your face. That's how that one went.
The announcers wanted him to take one back so bad. I think they mentioned him having like the record for all time college football probably at least twice. They're like, oh, he's going to make it. Nope. He had five returns for 94 yards. That was it.
Yeah. Man, yeah, Cats, that's a good category. Cats, kickoff coverage, punt coverage in this game, much, much better than it has been. Yeah. Or than it was last week, more like it has been the last few games. It's gotten a lot better in the last few games, and that continued on here yesterday.
All right, man, I'm
not
good.
Not a lot to nitpick in this game, really. Like there's some things we can talk about, okay, we had some things that we put on film that I don't love, and how is that going to match up against a team like William & Mary or South Dakota State? But, man, we got out of there with a pretty dominant win. We're moving on in the playoffs. It's a time to be happy and to look forward to another home game in Bozeman in the playoffs in December.
Ooh, man, this team is built for the playoffs, man. We're going to talk about that on Monday, but that's the MO of this program. Your Montana State is a dangerous team, absolutely dangerous in the playoffs. We're like, this whole year has been culminating to this point. I love it. I love how Coach Vegan has just crafted this whole thing. I love it. Can't wait for Friday.
We've gotten better and better. Yeah. Just a freight train getting going.
All right, dude. Take us out.
All right, let's get out of here. Well, that was a long instant reaction show, but you know, we've been chomping at the bit to talk about this. We got a lot of playoff stuff to get through, and that was all right. Hope it was a good episode for everyone. I hope everyone enjoyed the game as much as we did yesterday. Thanks everyone for listening. As always, you can find us on the web, rrcatcast.com. You can find us on Twitter, rrcatcast. You can find us on Instagram at rrcatcast. Ryan Foley, let's get out of here. Let's go Cats.
Go Cats.
Go Cats.